and they were upset about the losing their gain for finances, and cast the devil out of this woman. And this woman, she didn't foam at the mouth, and she didn't do all that stuff. And a lot of times people can have a devil in them, not foaming at the mouth, not, you know, falling down on the floor and eyes rolling back at their head. And I've seen that stuff. I've seen that. But they can take your Bible, look in Acts 16. Look at this. In Acts 16, a person can have a devil in them. And I believe these folks that do seances and all that stuff, I believe they got devils in them. Jean Dixon, she predicted Kennedy's death. And everybody said, well, what a great, you know, people want to go get their palms read. And you say, is that stuff real? Some of it is. And she wasn't 50, she wasn't 100%, but she was hitting on probably about 0.43 cylinders. And Gene Dixon predicted that, tried to stop Kennedy from going down to Dallas, Texas, and trying to tell him he was going to get shot. And so she became famous, all that. But then people think they want to get their palms read and that maybe they'll become rich and maybe they'll find out something. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to know what's going to come around the corner. I really wouldn't want to know. If God's in control of your life and you can trust him, and the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, all thy ways, acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. If God's running your life, then you're in his hands. And you're saved, you belong to him. And the Bible says that God says, he says, you're not only in God's, Jesus' hands, you're in the Father's hands. And I kind of like it like this, where he's got his hands around you and covering you. He's watching over you. So you can trust the Lord. You don't have to go to somebody to try to find out the future, and when, especially when you got a Bible. You don't have to go to somebody. You say, well, I want to know the future about my life. Am I going to hit the lottery? Am I going to do it? That's crazy, man. That's foolish for you to want to do that, especially if you're a child of God. And the devil has no control. I mean, the devil has control over people's lives when it comes to death and stuff. And he knew that Kennedy was going to die. So this woman had an unclean spirit in her. And but this, here in the Bible, you find this woman, she didn't foam at the mouth. She was telling the truth. This woman was telling the truth, and Paul got irritated with her. And like I said, people, I knew a guy wouldn't go out of his house. I don't know how it worked, but he would read his horoscope every day. Now, I hope you don't read horoscopes. I hope you don't. And in the paper, they have horoscope. You know, and every once in a while, I've looked down, you know, because I've looked down and just looked at what, because I was in that page, and I look down, it talks about whatever, you're born in June, you know. I'm born June 3rd. And, you know, they try to give predictions about you, you know, what you are, and all that crazy stuff. And some of it, like I said, some of the stuff is right. It's on the money. And then, like I told you before, whenever the devil likes to counterfeit whatever God has. And in the Old Testament, when David said to Abiathar, he said, go get the ephod. He said, go get the ephod. And he said, go get it. And he asked the Lord, said, shall I pursue or not? And that thing lit up somehow and spelt it out. Should I pursue? And it was almost like a glorified Ouija board. But God said, pursue. He said, shall I recover all? And God said, you'll recover all. And he said, okay, boom, he took off. And the devil was counterfeited that thing. And the Jews had that. But look in Acts chapter 16, look at verse 14. And there was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, on down. And it says, and when she was baptized, and so on, in verse 16, it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by Susan. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And you would think, you know, you're walking along, this woman said, these men of the Most High God, they're going to show us the way of salvation. You say, oh, amen. Praise the Lord. She got right with God. She had an unclean spirit in her. And don't you know, that tells me something, that God knows who you are and the devil knows who you are if you're trying to live for God. Because over in the book of Acts, when they were going to have deacons, or these men, they went into a house, and the guy was possessed of the devil, and he said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And if you're trying to live for God and trying to do what's right, that's why sometimes you have opposition. You have opposition trying to live for God. And if you don't have opposition, there's something wrong. And you're going to have opposition. You're going to have family opposition. You're going to have relatives. You're going to have distant relatives. And I've got, since I've been saved, I've got relatives that don't even want to come see me. They don't want to talk to me. Because I've witnessed to them. Now, I might have, when I first got saved, I might have had more zeal than knowledge, and I've witnessed to them pretty hard. And I probably, you know, said some things, but I did it out of a concern for their soul. And it says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. And it says, when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, because this woman had power to be able to tell the future. So you ride down the road, you see, you know, Miss Doris can read your palms, or Miss so-and-so, or Miss so-and-so, or this. You say, is that stuff? Some of it is, you know, it's not accurate, but when God said something, it was accurate. The devil hits and miss. And only the devil knows when something's in his hands that he can do something about, when something's in his power. And it says, her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. The only time they got upset is when their money was hit. And when people's money get hit, that's when they get upset. They don't care what you do, as long as you don't hurt their income. You hurt their income, that's when it's going to get rough. And these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul started crying and said, why me, Lord? Why me? It's me again, Lord. Some country song. It's me again, Lord. And all that crazy stuff. Sitting there with tear in my beer and all that crazy stupid stuff. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now you're talking about getting on another level, brother. You're on another level. I've said this last week, and I've said it every time. I said, how you can tell a mature Christian is when you're being attacked, you still got the best interest of somebody else. And wanting to see them get saved and want to see them do right and all that. And Paul, they were on a different level. You said, man, I'd like to get on that level. You know what it's going to cost you to get on that level. And what happens, a lot of Christians, they say, well, I don't want to go that far. I just don't. I mean, I'm satisfied where I'm at. You should never be satisfied where you're at. Never. Never be satisfied. You should be constantly growing, constantly going forward. If you're satisfied where you're at, then something's wrong with you. You said, well, I just don't want to. I've had people say, we went through some problems here, and Brother Dave White's wife said, I don't want to be a pastor's wife seeing what they've been through. God doesn't do the same thing for everybody. Everything is different for everybody. Everybody's got their different trials, different things. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. I would like to see that, but I don't want to go to jail. Wouldn't you like to see the Lord's man, boom, and boom, the whole place shakes, and all of a sudden, bam, an angel comes in there. Whoo! Now, for us, for you, you know, we get on the altar and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. And then the Lord starts bringing a little something in your life, and you get mad at him. You get mad. Why, God? Why me? Why me? And you said, well, that was the altar. You were praying. You were asking me to get closer. For you to get closer to me, you got to suffer. So we get to this point where we get mad at God because of what we prayed. Anyway, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And a great statement, do thyself no harm, we're all here. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? If that didn't happen, this guy would have never got saved. And there's things that happen in your life that God wants to see people saved, and he knows there's got to be a drastic or circumstances that take place. And that's what happened. And Paul's writing this thing from prison. I'm not saying he's in Philippi, but he's writing it to the Philippi, to the church of Philippi. And the reason why these people got saved, you say, was the jailer in there? I bet you the jailer was either probably a deacon or something at the church. The jailer, man, got saved, and God blessed him. And, man, he went out, and he says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It doesn't say nothing about speaking in tongues and all that junk. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house, as all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Don't you know that was an exciting night? Boy, to see that. You talking about revival. That was revival right there, buddy. That was real revival. And we want to see that. You want to see, but it takes going through some troubles and trials and heartaches and things like that to get it. And we, like I said, we don't want to, you know, we say, why me, Lord? Why not? All right, go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse, where were we? He's talking about his bonds, verse 13. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. When you see somebody paved the way for us, you know, here in America, we've had our way paved, man. We can worship God, and we have freedom of religion here while we can enjoy it while we got it. And we have freedom of religion and all that. We thank God somebody paved the way for us. If somebody paid for it, we're reaping the benefits. I think that's what's wrong with our Christianity today, is so much given to us that we take it for granted. The teens, the kids, the third, second and third and fourth generation Christians, they take it for granted. It's like nothing. That's why there's a lot of kids falling out of the church and falling away from God, teenagers. They don't want nothing to serve. They don't want to serve the Lord. And also they see the hypocrites of the second generation. They see that. They see the way they act, the way they talk, and they say, well, I don't want no part of that. So they become the third generation, and they don't want nothing to do with God. And you don't want to be a hypocrite in front of them. And you need to live right. And he said, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. But the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. That's the thing, man. You got to be sincere. You better be sincere. You don't get up and just to hack at people and just get out on, and guys went street preaching last night. You don't go out there just to tell people that you're going to hell. You deserve to burn like a piece of bacon in a frying pan. You rotten, stinking. If you go out for that, if you do it, you know, so that makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to tell people they're going to go to hell. And you get this idea that this lifts you up or something. But you do it with a broken heart, man. You want to see people saved. And when you go, and I know our guys are not doing that. They get down on their knees and pray. God give them fruit and see. They deal with people and they try to see people saved and they try to help people. And, you know, it's like this. Eddie was telling me a little bit ago. He said he was at the mall last night and there was a woman there they was witnessing to. And she said she was homeless and everything. And their daughter Charlotte is what, 4 years old, five years old?
Six.
Six now.
Seven. I lied again. Seven.
Seven. Wow. She's Miss Charlotte has got to be 7 years old. So he said they got back home and Charlotte went up and got her piggy bank. And she said, Daddy, can you take us back to the mall? I want to go give this something to her. And, you know, we get cons all the time. I got a guy called the other day. Eddie gave me the number Wednesday night. I called the guy. And he lives in High Point. He said he was at High Point Trailer. I asked Bill. He lives there. I said, if you see a guy sleeping in his truck there at High Point, said he needed food, had a flat tire, needed money. And so I called the guy, and the guy says, hello. He didn't know who I was. I said, I'm Pastor Ryman. And then he kind of went into another mode. Oh, yes, I'm homeless. I said, where are you staying at now? With my dad. And I said, do you work? Oh, yeah, I got a job. Really, you got a job? You want help? Yes. I could you pay for a motel for a night or two for me? I said, man, are you working? I wasn't rude. But then I've had another guy call me up. He was in Tennessee, broke down, he said. I said, what highway are you on? And he said, what difference does it make? Sound like Hillary. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
I said, it does make. I said, I know people down there. I could probably get some gas to you and all.
Man.
He said, I need $260. Yeah, a lot of gas. But it's just conning, and we're so skeptical of people conning now. But anyway, Charlotte, you got to keep the right heart, though, because you got to filter through that stuff to try to help people. And some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And they were doing it to try to get to Paul, trying to, you know, say he was a hypocrite and all this stuff. But the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He just rejoiced that Jesus Christ's name was mentioned and it was being preached, even though they were doing it with contention. He's glad of it. He was glad that his name was being mentioned. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Not salvation being saved, but maybe delivered from the prison, maybe being get out. I know that this shall be turned to my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And great verse, we stopped, I think, last time, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a great verse. You need to mark that in your Bible, for me to live. And some people, you ask them the question, what is it for you to live? What is it for you to live? So I've had people say, well, I got to have money. I got to do this. I got to do this. The other day I took the bus, I called my daughter Ruth, she laughed her head off. I always think of crazy stuff, man. I always think of just crazy stuff go through my head. And I was walking up the road through Milford, and I seen some people pass by. I know, I didn't stop them. I was just walking. I took a bus down there to get it front end line. And I'm walking back up the road, and I've seen people walking down the road, you know. So I have tracks on me. And I looked like a bum because I was all dirty and everything. And I'm walking up the road, and this guy's walking out and say, hey, man, give me something to read. Tell you about it. And, man, this scared him half to death. Amen. So then I went to the Dairy Queen, sat there and ate me a piece. I got ice cream. Amen. And not supposed to eat the cone, but I ate the cone. So I sat there and ate the ice cream, and I'm looking at people, and I ran out of tracks. So then I walked over. I told my wife, I said, I'll meet you at the Wawa. And I said, pick me up there. So I went over to the Wawa, got me a Coke, and I went out and sat next to the trash can. So I'm sitting down next to the trash can. I look like a bum, man. I started laughing, thinking about it. And I thought, I'm going to get up and say, hey, man, can I borrow a dollar? People coming in to Wawa. But I had money on me. I had enough money in my pocket. But I thought, I'm going to do this. So I'm sitting there at the trash can. I got the Coke. No. Man, I had a couple $100 in my pocket. I'm sitting there beside a trash can, and I'm looking around, and people walking. You know how people are when you know how it is when you go to Wawa and there's somebody sitting by out there, looks like a bum. You just don't even look at them. You just keep walking, you know. You go right to the door. So when people walk by, I say, hey, how y'all doing? They wouldn't even look at me. So I got this idea. So I'm going to get up and ask them for a dollar. But I didn't have no tracks on me, so I didn't do it. But I'm gonna get somebody. Go back and do it sometime. And I want tracks on me. But I wanted to go up and say, "Hey, can I borrow a dollar?" And you know, first thing you say, "I don't have it." But what I was gonna do is say, "Here, I got one for you. Here, you take it. Here's a dollar for you. And here's something else you can read. Tell you about Jesus. Won't cost you a dime." I can imagine what they're thinking. Wow! I told my daughter Ruth down in Georgia. She laughed her head off. She said, "Dad, I can picture you doing that." I always try to think of crazy stuff. So, but anyway, I don't know why I told you that. But anyway, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Or yet, what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in straight betwixt two. And this is the way we are right now. We're in a straight betwixt. Brother, we have a desire for Jesus to come. Amen. We want to go. I told you, Brother Jack Lynch, he's not here today, but Jack said, when he told me he had problems with the lungs and everything, I said, Jack, we'll get all the men and we'll pray over you. He said, no, you ain't. I said, why not? He said, you ain't going to hinder nothing from me. If the Lord's taking me, I'm gone. For me to live is Christ, and to die gain. He's lying in straight betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And see what it's saying?
Yeah.
The folks that we've had here, our hearts are broke because they're gone. But if we asked them to come back now, they would never come back.
Amen.
Only with Jesus would they come back on a white horse. And it says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That's what Paul is saying. That's why the Lord didn't take Paul. And he said, man, it's needful for me to be here. Why? He wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and they weren't completed yet. When you complete your job, when your job is through, then God's going to take you home. When the rapture of the church, you say, when is the rapture going to take place? We get all kinds of dates in our head. We think this and that. We think, well, even so, come on, Lord. And the Bible tells us that you'll have a crown for loving his appearing. If you love his appearing, I want to see him come back. But I want to try to win as many people as I can before he comes. And that's why we do what we do. We're trying to win people to Jesus Christ and try to talk to them. But, and I've said this before, I never thought my kids would ever grow up. In the 70s, that's what I heard about when I got saved. Man, the Lord's coming back. I didn't think they would ever grow up. I never thought I'd have kids and didn't have kids, and they grow up, and then they hear the Lord ain't back yet. He's coming, though. He's coming. But, you know, he says, nevertheless, abiding the flesh is more needful for you. And we're, you know, Paul was just doing his job, fulfilling his job. And when our job is through and the Lord's ready to come back, and like I said, people got all kinds of dates and ways to figure it out. I sat and tried to figure it out. And the dates, and, you know, 70 years, and, you know, when Israel becomes a nation, and then all that in 2000, just, and it could be. But then I've heard preachers say, well, when the last person gets saved, it fulfills the body of Christ, that's when the Lord's coming back. That's good, too. That'll work. So we need to get busy winning people to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be something? You'd be witness to somebody and give them, and they get down on their knees and they ask the Lord to save them. And then right then you hear a trumpet. You go, you're on your knees and you say, hey, wait a minute, I hear something. Boom. And then rapture take. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be cool. Any way he does it, it's fine.
Amen.
It's fine with me.
Amen.
Long as he does it.
Yeah.
And I believe he's going to do it soon. I had a guy call me up the other day. It was funny. Guy called me up. He says, you know what? He's a real conspiracy guy, and he's into all kinds of stuff. And he calls me up and says, you know what? You think if Trump becomes president, the Bible, you know, and the Bible says the last Trump. And the trumpet will sound. I started laughing, just like you did. I said, there hasn't been a first Trump yet. And he goes, oh, man, when you know, you blow my theory. Everybody gets these theories. You blew my theory, man. At the last Trump, when he becomes president. I said, maybe his sons are going to run after him. And that would be the last Trump. And I was mocking him then. He was laughing. But anyway, look at verse 24. Or 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And you wonder what happened to folks that fell out. You know what it is? They don't think the Lord's coming back.
Right.
You think about this. If a person we got hundreds of thousands of people in America that's saved, that don't go to church no more, don't read the Bible, nothing like that, and they're saved. And they're saved, and don't you know if they really believed the Lord was coming back? They'd be in church.
Amen.
And what the problem is, that like the Bible says in the last days, you know, perilous times should come. And then it says that, you know, be scoffers saying, where's the promise of his coming? Over in Peter. Where's the promise of his coming? You Baptists, you're just trying to scare us with that. That's all it is. This is a scare tactic. That's what's going to happen. That's what kids are saying. Grown up in church, scare tactic. Y'all just trying to scare us. Well, if that's the case, I'd rather be scared, the fear of the Lord, begin in wisdom, and serve God. But I believe he's coming because the Bible says it. God predicts it. Now, let's read on down. Nevertheless, abiding the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's the purpose I believe every church, every pastor, every church should strive for. Have one mind, have the same spirit, and man, just strive together to get people saved. We have Vacation Bible School. We have Vacation Fun Day by preparation for Vacation Bible School. We have our August meeting coming up the third Sunday of August, trying to get people saved. We have our youth rally. Like last year, I don't know how many we had saved there and had so many folks come. We do whatever we do, we're trying to get people saved. They had that revival and then in Burlington down there. They were trying to get people saved. And they were trying to get people stirred up about living for the Lord. Anything, man. I mean, we run the buses. We're trying to get kids saved, trying to get them in church. We're trying to get whatever ministry we have, nursing home, trying to get people saved. The kids' ministries, whatever, trying to get them saved. Miss Lars and Brother John and Miss Holly and them have the kids' ministry, trying to get kids saved. Sunday school, trying to get kids saved. It's for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're trying to get churches to stay strong. I have pastors call me up. I'm trying to encourage them, stay with it. Don't quit. Don't quit. I hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in the faith, for faith of the gospel. And nothing terrified in your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of I watched this old Japanese movie of the Philippines. And the Japanese came in and occupied, but the Philippine people did not sit idly by and allow the Japanese to have their way. They started a resistance. And they started a resistance against the Japanese. And we've got we're supposed to be in a resistance against this world. We're supposed to be in a resistance against the devil. We're supposed to be in a resistance against the flesh. We're supposed to be in that resistance. And that's what the Philippine Islands, that's what they were against. They were against the Japanese occupying their island. We should, in the Bible, Jesus tells us to occupy till he comes. We're supposed to be in a resistance against this world, as in trying to win people to Jesus Christ. And nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't worry about your adversaries. Amen. Your adversaries, they're going to do what they do. They're going to come at you. They're going to try to stop you. They're going to try to discourage you. He talked about joy there. They have joy serving the Lord. Most Christians today don't have no joy in serving God.
Right.
They're just doing it out of duty, which I'm for duty. But there's no joy in it. I want to be able to serve God with joy, man. And nothing terrified of your adversaries. We're going to have adversaries. And I'll tell you this, it's better to have adversaries outside the doors of the church than have them inside the door.
Amen.
When we consider each other as adversaries, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
The adversaries should be outside.
Right, the world.
The world, not in here.
Amen.
This should be unity. And nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. On you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also, here's the tough one. Not only to believe on him, hallelujah, praise God, and also to suffer for his sake. We don't like suffering. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I'm allergic to suffering. But, you know, I'm concerned about air conditioning. I'm concerned about your comfort. Really, I am. I'm concerned about you coming in here being comfortable. Why? Because I know the way people are. But people don't think nothing about it. And plus, lost people, I want them to be comfortable coming in here. That's why we do it. I want to see them be comfortable. But lost people, man, they'll go to a stadium. You think about this. Yesterday, I'll think about people going to the fair. Everybody went to the fair yesterday. A lot of folks went to the fair. Now, I'm not against going to the fair. At the fair, you can have fun, pass out tracks, have a good time.
Amen.
And kids can ride rides and all that stuff. And but it was hot as Hades yesterday. And you're out there and standing in you know, over 100 degree weather and on asphalt, but you don't complain about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if people have to come to church, like last Sunday, I forgot, I turned the both back air conditioners, the floor air conditioners, I turned them off by accident. Saturday I turned them off. I thought, I'll remember to turn them back on. Sunday morning, I forgot to turn them on. So it was 64 degrees when we came in here last Sunday morning, and the temperature started rising. Remind me of old song. The temperature started rising. And then it went up to like 77 degrees in here. And then after it went up to 77, we couldn't get the thing back down. But I thank God folks still came to church last Sunday night, and we sweated it out together. But but people, I want people comfortable to be able to come to church. But for us Christians, it should be whatever.
Amen.
Whatever. And it says, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And Paul's saying, I'm suffering for the cause of Christ. And make sure if you're going to suffer, make sure you don't suffer for stupidity.
Amen.
Don't suffer for stupidity. Suffer for Jesus Christ if
right.
You're going to suffer.
Amen.
Just don't suffer for doing something stupid. And how many times I've heard about, I'll be walking in the house and my wife will say, did you hear what someone said? I go, oh, that's stupid. That's stupid. Why in the world? Stupid. He said, don't suffer for stupidity. All right? Amen. We'll stop right there. Father, thank you again today, God, for your mercy and grace. Lord, bless the service coming up. Thank you for the air conditioning. Thank you for the comfortable seats. Thank you for the carpet. Thank you for the roof. Thank you for all the building you've given us and the property and the gym and all the things that you've given this church and the buses. And Lord, I even thought about trying to get air conditioning in the buses for the kids. I want them to be comfortable. But Lord, I pray, God, you just, Lord, help our folks to be strong. Help us to be tough. And when it comes to this world, it'd be tough against the world and the flesh and the devil, but not tough towards each other, but to care for each other, love each other. And my Father, I pray you save that soul today, near as hell. In Jesus' name, amen.